Does everyone have kinos? I have two more left over here. I want to do with you today kino Yud Aleph. Kino Yud Aleph is on page... what page do you have? Kino Yud Aleph.
The 182.
182?
Yes.
Okay, on page 182, I'll also use the same kinos, so clip on together. Vayikainen Yirmiyahu al Yoshiyahu. Now this is the most important kina of the day. The most important kina of Tisha B'Av is kina Yud Aleph, and I'll show you in a minute, why. Now, by the way, kina, we translate kinos as what we say in the morning of Tisha, the 45 kinos that are recited, five at night, and the remainder by day. But the real translation of kinos is Eicha. Eicha, we translate Eicha as Megillas Eicha, but really it's called kinos. I'll show you in a moment. Let's give some background to who was Yoshiyahu, Yirmiyahu, and what the kina discusses, and we'll read it inside. And then we'll read a couple of ideas, just to bring in a few ideas that relate to this kina. Now first of all, Yoshiyahu lived towards the very end of the Bayis Rishon. He was the fifth to last king. He died 22 years before the Bayis was destroyed. After Yoshiyahu died, the next five kings was Yehoiachaz, Yehoiakim, Yehoiachin, and Tzidkiah. Each one reigned, for relatively speaking, a short period of time. But after he died, there were only 22 years left until the Beis HaMikdash was destroyed. And indeed, really, the Chazal tell us, also, we'll see in the kina itself, that after he died, when he died, that's when the time when the Beis HaMikdash should have been destroyed. It's only because the Bnei Yisrael, they were maspid him kehalacha, they mourned over him properly. HaKadosh Baruch Hu extended the life, so to speak, of the Beis HaMikdash for an additional 22 years. Now the story is as follows. In the time of Yirmiyahu, time of Yoshiyahu, Yoshiyahu inherited his malchus from his father and grandfather. Who was his father? Amon. Who was his grandfather? Menashe. Menashe and Amon were the worst kings in the history of Klal Yisrael. They were terrible Oivdei Avodah Zarah. We have to remember that we're learning Yeshayahu, and we're learning all about Chizkiyahu. Chizkiyahu was one of the greatest kings in the history of Klal Yisrael. He completely transformed Klal Yisrael. They served Hashem. They were learning Torah. The great miracle happened on behalf of Chizkiyahu, where Sancheriv was defeated. His soldiers miraculously died. And after the death of Chizkiyahu, Menashe took over. Menashe was a Rasha. He was Oyvei Avodah Zarah. And he ripped out of Klal Yisrael any trace of what we call Yiddishkeit. The Avodah Zarah was introduced to the Beis HaMikdash. No one was allowed to learn. And after he died, his son Amon went even further. And by the time Amon died and the Malchus went to Yoshiyahu, the ignorance was so great in Klal Yisrael, no one even knew what a Sefer Torah looked like. No one knew a Pasuk in Chumash. Nothing. Zero zilch. The ignorance was not to be believed. But there was still a Beis HaMikdash, and primarily in the Beis HaMikdash they offered Karbano, they did Avodah Zarah, and they had some ancient traditions. They must have done something in honor of HaKadosh Baruch Hu as well at a time when Yoshua became Melech. Yoshua was 8 years old when he became Melech, and 8 years into his Malchus, when he was 16 years old, he already sensed that there's something that's missing. There's something more to it. A number of years later, during his Malchus, they decided to do a renovation project of the Beis HaMikdash construction, and they collected money, and they were in the process of making renovations, and they discovered a Sefer Torah. And the Sefer Torah was open to the parasha of the Toichacha, Parashas Kisavo. And the Pasuk said, it was open to the Pasuk that said that HaKadosh Baruch Hu was going to take the king into exile. And Chilkiyahu, who was the Kohen Gadol at that time, was a bit frightened because they have not seen the Sefer Torah in many years. And now when they first discovered this Sefer Torah, from all the psukim that they can discover, it was open to the Pasuk of the Toichacha. So over time, they informed the Melech Yoshua what they discovered, the Sefer Torah, and he wanted to see it, he wanted to hear what it says, and they read it to him. And when he heard the Toichacha, he was distraught, he got up, and he rice kriya. And he decided, we have to do something. This is a bad omen, we have to tshuva, and he began one of the greatest tshuva of movements in the history of the world, where the entire Klal Yisrael was transformed, and they were mekayim the Torah, and everything went back to the way it should be over, of course, a long period of time. Towards the end of his life, when he was 39 years old, he had succeeded in transforming Klal Yisrael to such a high level, to such a great level of Kedusha. He felt he was living in the times of Mashiach. He already was holding where Mashiach, the coming of Mashiach, was imminent. And at that point in time, there was a king, Melech Mitzrayim. His name was Paro Necho, who wanted to go to war against his enemy, Ashur, the king of Ashur, whoever the king of Ashur was, and he wanted to wage battle in the city called Carchemish. In order for Paro Necho to go to Carchemish, she would have to cross through Eretz Yisrael. Egypt is the southwest of Eretz Yisrael. Ashur is the northeast. And in order to pass from Mitzrayim to Carchemish to Ashur, he would have to pass through Eretz Yisrael. He sent messengers to Yoshiyahu. Permission, can I please pass through your land? I'm coming in peace. I'm not coming to wage war. I just need to get where I want to go, and that's nothing to do with you. And Yoshiyahu felt that since he's living now in the times of Mashiach, Bnei Yisrael are tzadikim, and it says in the Pasuk, in the Brachos, V'cherev le'savar ba'aretz, a sword will not pass through your land. And therefore, I don't even want a sword, a cherev shel shalom, even if a sword, they're only coming to march through Eretz Yisrael to get to their destination, even that I do not want. And he did not allow Yoshiyahu did not allow Paro Necho to pass through Eretz Yisrael. What happened? Paro Necho did not take no for an answer. He entered, he came through the land anyway, and Yoshiyahu went out to stop him. There was a battle in what's called Bikas, the valley of Megiddo. And in this valley, Yoshiyahu was killed. He was killed. 300 arrows were shot into his body. In one of the later kinos that talks about the Crusades, it mentions that Yoshiyahu was not zoicha to kavura. He did not even have a burial. Now, even though it does say in the Divrei Hayamim that he did have kavura, Chazal explained that means that a double revius of his blood was buried, but his actual body was not buried. He died in the battlefield. There was no kavura. Yirmiyah was able to collect a double revius, two kiddush cups worth of blood, and that's what was taken back to Eretz Yisrael, to Yerushalayim, for burial. So in this kina, Yirmiyah mourns over the death of this great tzaddik Yoshiyahu. Now, the reason why this is so important is the reading of the Pesukim. There's a fascinating Rashi, and there are a few things I want to discuss and go through the Kiluti very quickly. It says over here in Divrei Hayamim, Beis Perek Lamed Hei, it describes the battle. It describes that they shot arrows into his body, and he died. And then it says here in Pasuk Afei, Vayikoyneinu Yirmiyahu al Yoshiyahu. Vayoyimu kol hashorim v'hasharos, the male singers and the female singers. There were female singers, female eulogizers in those days. B'kinoy sehem al Yoshiyahu, and they expressed their grief with kinos al Yoshiyahu ad hayom, until today. And then it goes on, Pasuk concludes, vayitnum l'choik, they established the eulogy, the requirement to mourn over Yoshiyahu al Yisrael, dihinam, and the words of eulogy, the words of mourning, are recorded kisuvim al hakinos, in the kinos. What are the kinos? Kinos refers to Sefer Megillas Eicha, the fourth perek of Eicha, when they lay in Eicha at night, the night of Tisha B'Av. The fourth perek of Eicha is a eulogy. There are 22 psukim. It is a eulogy for Yoshiyahu. Let me read you the Rashi. The Rashi, he says, V'hinam kisuvim al hakinos, al sefer hakinos. Sefer hakinos does not refer to what we say. It refers to Seif Megillas Eicha Perek Dalet Eicha Yuam Hazon. Hazof. How could the gold have been dimmed? And now Rashi here, let me read you this Rashi. Rashi here says, V'yidim luchok, this is a Rashi, it's one of a kind. V'yidnum luchok, and they establish it as a law, that kinos, the kinos of Yoshio, shall always be recited till the end of time. Kishem izdamin, here with Rashi, kishem izdamin lohem shum tsar. When an event occurs for Klal Yisrael, and Klal Yisrael suffers distress, ubechia, and they cry, shehei mikoinanim uboichem al hamu'ura, and they cry and they mourn over a terrible tragedy that has occurred to them in their times, heim maskirim ze hatsar ima. There's a requirement that this should be appended to their tzar. Rachmana Litzlan, there's a time in the history of Klal Yisrael where there is mourning, and there's a time where we have to express grief over an event that has occurred in our times. We have to add to our grief a zecher for the tragedy of the death of this tzaddik Yoshiyahu. He was able to transform Klal Yisrael. Dugman, here he goes on to say, Dugman, this is Rashi writing, for example, B'tisha B'av, K'shemazkirim kinos. Where we mention kinos. We mourn al haharugim, over those that have died. B'gzeros she'iru b'yameinu, over the gzeros, the terrible decrees from heaven that have occurred in our time. What in the world is Rashi referring to? The gzeros that have occurred in our time. He's to Rashi's writing in his lifetime. What happened in Rashi's lifetime? The crusade, the first crusade. Rashi, the first crusade occurred in the year 1096. Rashi was 56 years old during the time of the first crusade. There's a legend that he met with what was the name of the general for the first crusade? Does anyone remember? Slipped my mind. There was a legend, and he told him, "You're not going to be successful. There's a whole story with him." What? There's a whole legend. So Rashi refers to him. Shiru, what? Maybe we'll do another time. Shiru biyameinu kain yivkuyun al yoyim mois Yosho. We also mourn over the death of Yoshiyahu. V'tichoyk biyishal lisnois. Labas Yiftach Agiladi, we also mourn over Yiftach. Okay, but this is a very interesting Rashi. Rashi makes mention of an event that occurred in his lifetime, and they mourn, and when they mourn for that, they also mourn for Yoshio. Okay. This is one important idea, and that this kina has been required of us by the Nevi'im, by Yirmiyah. So when we say this kina on Tisha B'Av, we're not just saying a kina stam that someone put into a siddur and then we all get together. It's a requirement. We're fulfilling what it says in the pasuk Vayitnum l'chok al Yisrael v'hinam tzim al kinas. This is a chok that has been established from the time of the Nevi'im, that this must be done, and that's why this kina Yud Aleph is so important that we say it and understand it on Tisha B'Av. Now there's another very important idea, another fascinating Rashi, which is alluded to in the Kina itself, as we'll see in a few moments. But Rashi, when this whole story begins, the story of the death of Yoshiyahu, we'll go back in a few psukim, it says, Acharei Cholzos. After all this refers specifically to the Korban Pesach. Yoshiyahu organized a public Korban Pesach in Klal Yisrael. After all this, Ashehechin Yoshiyahu es Habayis, Olo Necho Melech Mitzrayim Paro Necho. The reason why he was called Necho, by the way, was because he was a cripple. Necho means Chagira, Nechei Raglayim. Chagira, the Targum translates Necho as a Chagira, and Rashi says many times that he was a cripple, and that's why he was called Paro Necho, from Lashon of Nechei Raglayim. And here, Rashi says something which is very, very important. Achrei kol zos, ashehechin yoshio es habayis, ola necho melech mitzrayim, ha-posik koivel. The Pasuk here is complaining, u'mekoinen al yoshiyahu, sheloi nase loy neis kemo lechizkiyahu. Kemoi shekosuv bo achrei hadvorim vo'emes, ho'ele bos ancheriv, al chizkiyahu nase loy neis. Rashi says, what is the tragedy of the death of Yoshiyahu? The tragedy is that he did not merit the same miracle as Chizkiyahu. If we study the two, it's interesting is that there are striking similarities between Chizkiyahu and Yoshiyahu. Who did Chizkiyahu inherit his malchus from? Ochos. Who was Ochos? A Rasha. And in fact, Chazal tells us that he dragged his father's corpse on a bed of ropes. Amita shel chavolim, to show Klal Yisrael, I'm not like my father. My father was in the middle of the Zara. My father blocked up the Beis HaMikdash. He prevented Bnei Yisrael from bringing Karbanos HaKadosh Baruch Hu, from Sinai HaKadosh Baruch Hu. He wanted to remove Avodas Hashem. I'm not like my father. Things are going to be different. And indeed, Chizkiyahu transformed. He miraculously transformed Klal Yisrael to a very high spiritual level, where he was threatened by Sancheriv, he merited the very great miracle where all of the soldiers, 185,000 soldiers, miraculously were killed the night of Pesach outside Yerushalayim. What about Yoshiyahu? He was the same. Yoshiyahu inherited the Malchus from Menashe, from Amon, his grandfather and father, who also removed any trace of Yiddishkeit from Klal Yisrael. And here came Yoshiyahu, he completely transformed Klal Yisrael, and yet he did not merit the miracle of being saved from his nemesis, from Paro Necho. So it's a fascinating. By the way, they're both the same age. They're both approximately. When did the event of Sancheriv? How old was Chizkiyahu? He was 38. How old was Yoshiyahu the time when Paro Necho came? Was 39. Both of them they are related to Pesach. When did the miracle occur for Chizkiyahu? On the night of Pesach. When did this happen? When did this happen? This happened right after this event of Paro Necho happened right after, it says here in the Pasuk, he organized a massive public gathering to bring the Korban Pesach. That was one of his great accomplishments. There are very similarities. Chizkiyahu, who was his enemy? Sancheriv, Melech Ashur. Where did Paro Necho want to go? He wanted to go and wage war against Ashur. What did Yoshiyahu wanted to be good to Ashur. He wanted the Asher should be to prevent Paro Necho from coming to attack Melech Asher. So there are fascinating similarities between the two. And Rashi here very carefully says that that's really what it's all about. The Churban, what we mourn about Yoshiyahu, was that he did not merit the miracle that happened for Chizkiyahu. They were very similar. The miracle happened for Chizkiyahu, but not for Yoshiyahu.
Could you say the difference? One, Chizkiyahu listened.
Chizkiyahu listened. He didn't listen to Yeshayahu. So the question was, why didn't he listen? Why did he listen? That's a question which is a topic in and of itself. Okay, one of what I wanted to bring out, a very very interesting drush. The whole year, we learn from the Sefer Torah. Right, there are 54 parashas. Every parasha, every Shabbos, we learn from the Sidra. And in the parasha relates to the Nyan Diyoma, and there's a very important significance in which parasha we lane as we go through the year. What happens when it comes Yom Tov, comes Pesach? We lane Pesach every day a different section from the Torah. Is the Sefer Torah in the correct location, the correct place? No. We always have to be goyel of the Sefer Torah to where we are, holding in the Sidra, we're up to Parshas, let's say Vayikra, Tzav, Shmini, and we're learning from the Parshas from Shemos, so we have to be going backwards all the way to the middle of Shemos, to Parshas B'Shalach, to Parshas Vo'era, to Kisitsa, we're going backwards. When it comes Shavuos, where are we holding the Shavuos? We're holding by Parshas Parshas Noso, approximately Parshas Noso, Bamidbar Noso, and where do we lay in Parshas, when it comes to Shavuos? We go to the Yisro. comes Sukkot, the same thing. Sukkot is a holding by the Zosar Bracha. We're moving the Sefer Torah back and forth. Every one of the Mo'adim, we're always being goylel the Sefer Torah from the Sidra, where we're holding, to a different location. Rosh Chodesh, we're also goylel the Sefer Torah. Chanukah, we also goylel the Sefer Torah. Purim, we also goylel the Sefer Torah. We're always rolling the Sefer, except for Tisha B'Av. Tisha B'Av, we learn from Kiselid Banim, we learn from Parshas Veschanan. You don't have to be goylel the Sefer Torah. It's right there. What is the significance? What is the significance of this? So I once heard a very beautiful drush, is that when you goylel the Sefer Torah, it means it's not the world of reality. You have to make believe. You have to pick yourself up from where you are. You know, you walk around Pesach night, you put the matzah on your shoulder, you walk around there, you make believe you're in Mitzrayim, you're living Mitzrayim. It's not the real, you're being oikir yourself from your makom, you're going to a new location. When it comes to the Mo'adim, Pesach, Shavuos, Sukkos, it's not the real thing. There's no Beis HaMikdash. There are no Korbanos, no Korban Pesach. We're living in Golos. We're living in Golos. The Mo'adim are all make-believe. To show that it's make-believe, we're going along the Sefer Torah. We're oikir from our makom, and we have to go to a new location. Tisha B'Av, what is the theme of Tisha B'Av? It's Golos. Golos is the ultimate reality. It's the real thing. You don't have to make believe you're in Golos. You are in Golos. You don't have to be Goylo the Sefer Torah. Yoshiyahu. What happened with Yoshiyahu? What was his godless? How did it all start? Yoshiyahu was the Beis HaMikdash. He was the Melech. He was already, I think he was 20, what does it say? He was 25. He became king when he was 8 years old. He had stirrings to serve Hashem when he was 16 years old. And then a couple of years later, they did construction, renovation, Beis HaMikdash, and they discovered the Sefer Torah, and they brought him the Sefer Torah, and they opened up the Sefer Torah to where it was. They weren't goyel the Sefer Torah. They opened up the Sefer Torah to what it said right there. And it said, Kisoylid Bonim, Vinashantem, it said, Tzutaychem Parashas Kisovo, and Yoylech Hashem Esmalkecha, El Am Asher Lo Yedati, you go to Golos. He said to himself, look at this, Hashkocha Pratis, if this is where the Sefer Torah is open to, there must be a message, there must be a Musar, something for me to learn from over here. And this inspired him to completely, to turn over Klal Yisrael B'Mahapecha, completely transform them into a new nation, a nation that observes the does the Torah. It all came from looking at the Sefer Torah open where it is in its location. When we come to Tisha B'Av, we really are reenacting Yoshiyahu. The most important kina is Yoshiyahu. He was the greatest tzaddik. He did the most for Klal Yisrael. He transformed Klal Yisrael. If he did not die, could be the Golos would have not, the Midrash would have not been Charv when it was. It could have been all because he took seriously what it says in the Sefer Torah where it was open to. On Tisha B'Av, we open up the Sefer Torah, and it's Musar. It's Musar. If you're going to live in the land, you're not going to observe Kisoled Banim V'Nashantem Ba'aretz V'Yishchatem, you're going to do Averus, you're going to sin, then all these terrible things are going to happen. But if you'll only do Tshuva, then you'll merit the Geula. We put ourselves in the shoes of Yoshiyahu on Tisha B'Av. And it's just like he took seriously what it says, what it said. That is what we should do. We should take seriously what it says, the reality of Golos, and not make believe that nothing is wrong, everything is fine. That's the Nisayon. Now, in the Kina itself, I don't know if we have time to go to the Kina, but I just want to point out one interesting thing in the Kina, towards the end of the Kina. It says something very interesting. It says, when did this whole event happen? When did he die? When was he killed? When did they shoot 300 arrows into his body? This occurred towards the very end of the Kina. This happened Bimoed. If you have the Kina, I'll tell you exactly which page it's on. This happened Bimoed, page 186, the second to last paragraph. Tom, I'll read you the whole paragraph. Tom. Tom means the perfect one. The perfect one refers to Yoshiyahu. B'mikra Echad, in the same event, the same occurrence, circumstance, He died as Achav. Achav was a Rasha. Achav introduced, was the first one he introduced Avodah Zarah into Klal Yisrael. He died, Yoshiyahu died the same type of death as the wicked Achav. Achav was a Rasha, he was killed by arrows. Yoshiyahu was the ultimate tzaddik and he was killed the same way, which represents the concept of tzaddik v'ra'lo. Kais Megiddo Lishdos, he was forced to drink the bitter cup of retribution at the Bikas Megiddo when he died. When did he die? He died b'moed, at the time, Shnas HaShmita, at the time of Shemitah, the year after Shemitah, Kigo HaKel Le'esos, when the entire assembly came, the year after Shemitah, the year of Shemitah, the end of the Shemitah year, is HaKel. Everyone comes to the Beis HaMikdash to gather. That's when it happened. The war took place during this Tkufa. And what happened at that period of time? Tolob Yeshem Eshtayim Meharosh Shasos. HaKadosh Baruch Hu suspended the Churban for 22 years. Why? In reward for Kisoftu Lo Echa B'Eshem Eshtayim Osios, because they mourned over Yoshiyahu with the 22 letters of the Aleph Beis. In Perik Da'al of Echa, there are 22 psukim. Each pasuk corresponds to one of the letters of the Aleph Beis. And because they properly mourned for Yoshiyahu, HaKadosh Baruch Hu extended the Beis HaMikdash, did not destroy the Beis HaMikdash for another 22 years. Question is, why does the Kalir have to mention here that this event took place at the time of Shemitah, at the time of HaKel? So the answer is, I think this is a Jewish, is because how did Yoshiyahu start? Where did it all start from? It started when they read for him the Sefer Torah. What is the highlight of a Melech? So you think, a Melech, Malchus, when he goes out in his robes and his crown, he goes in front of the people to give a State of the Union address. This is the highlight of his career when he goes in his chariots. The highlight of a Melech is HaKel. When he has an opportunity to teach Klal Yisrael Torah, he reads, he is the Kore. He reads from the Sefer Torah. We think of a Bal Kore, oh, what's the big deal? Just a kid reading the Bal Kore. It's a tremendous thing. When you read from the Torah, you're teaching Torah. This is Limud HaTorah. The highlight of a Melech is the opportunity where he sits in the Beis HaMikdash and the whole Klal Yisrael comes and he is the Melamed Shel Klal Yisrael. That was, what was his, where did, what, and that's, that was his end. He was Zochet to that. Why? Where did it all start? He was a Talmud. He was a Talmud. Chilkiyo HaKohen came and he read a Pasuk in the Torah. He read a Pasuk. This is where the Sefer Torah is up to. It was a frightening pasuk. Or Asher Lo Yakim is Divrei HaTorah Azos. Yoshiyahu, the Talmud, when he heard a pasuk in the Torah, he got up, he writes Kriya, and he says, I'm going to make a change. I'm not going just to take this as a coincidence that the Sefer Torah is open to this location. I'm going to act upon it. In reward for that, he came to a point in time, HaKel, where he read the Sefer Torah for the entire Klal Yisrael. That was the end of his life. That's the hesped. That's the hesped of Yoshiyahu. He took the Torah seriously. He went to the extreme. He turned around Klal Yisrael, where they all came to listen to him teach Torah to Klal Yisrael. This is the greatest hesped for Yoshiyahu. And they were masped him with the 22 letters of the Sefer Torah. All because it wasn't a coincidence. So we come to Tisha B'Av, and it's open to Parshas V'eschanan, and we don't go to Sefer Torah, we have to step into his shoes and take Musar from this, and also hope to do tshuva, and then bring the Geulah. So maybe we'll read the Kinyan Otzer, it's a little late, but we'll see.
Where are we storing now?
I'll put them away, I'll put them over there somewhere.